Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This week we've got our patrons and we are going through the teaser trailer for season 2 of the Fallout TV show. We meant to do this last week, but I was taken out within an hour of us actually starting this by a migraine, so I apologize for no episode last week, but I got better. And we've got a bunch of our patrons joining us. We're going to be going through the video and basically pulling it piece by piece and discussing things, pointing things out that we notice. And there's a lot. There's a lot here. So get ready. And if you want a visual version of this, I don't know that I'm going to put up a visual version of the episode on the YouTube channel, but you're welcome to pull up the video and just kind of see what we're talking about as we go. And or you could just be here in the live chat. So welcome, live chat. All right, so we've got Pumpkin joining us and Lil Green, Nova, No Phil, No Thrill, Silas, Void, and Ebony Kitty. Welcome back, everybody. So glad to have you all here. Are you ready? Are you ready to go through this? This is gonna be super fun. Everyone's giving me thumbs up. Everyone's ready to go. This is going to be a little chaotic because here's how this is going to work. I am going to put up the video. I'm going to play a little bit. I'm going to stop. And then you guys can just chime in. You could say, hey, this is the thing I noticed in this scene, or this is something cool here. I think this is what this means. And we'll just kind of go from there. So let's get this started. We're going to start off with the very beginning of it. Video's up and here we go.
I'm looking for someone.
Common story around here.
Someone you care about or someone you hate?
Oh, what a great question. What say you, Miss McClain?
All right, so the very, very beginning, they're in the desert. It's the ghoul. It's a... it's Lucy. I was going to say her color juicy, but I didn't do that. Who wants to chime in? Any thoughts about this very beginning part in the desert? Phil, I saw Phil's hand. I see Void's hand. Phil, start us off.
Okay. My first crazy theory is I think we might have a cameo here from a person from Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
I think the woman that is asking the question here might be Cass from New Vegas.
Yes, I had a similar thought. I've seen some other people comment on this. They're clearly talking to somebody, and it could be somebody from New Vegas. New Vegas is 15 years before the events of the show right here. So a lot of people could still be alive 15 years later. Void, did you have the same thought?
No, I was more looking at the amount of blood on her clothes.
Okay.
Because
yeah, she's bloody from this point in later in the trailer. Also, you can see all the blood on the front
right.
of her shirt. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something that happened of the last episode of season one or something that's happened soon. It's just a major note that I saw because that is quite a lot of blood staining on her clothes that shouldn't have come from a small wound.
Yeah, I think it was part of what was on her because of the events of the first season, especially when she gets like taken and almost experimented on and chopped up by the Mr. Handy, like that whole scene where things really start to get rough for her. She gets a lot of blood and she starts to have to fight back. Remember that? I think there's scenes where she gets blood on her. And then because of the end of the season one, they just have to take off and start heading through the desert, which means that she didn't have time to get any new clothes or anything. So I think that's remnants from that. But you're right. It is a lot of blood. Is it more blood than what was there before? I don't know. Maybe. Anybody else have thoughts on either of those two things? Cass or the amount of blood on her clothes?
I think it's probably from a fight she just got out of.
Do you think it's a more recent event?
Yeah, well, if you also saw in, well, I don't know if we'll just spoil later in the trailer, but like,
sure.
There's an explosion where somebody quite literally just gets evaporated. And in theory, it could be pretty close after that.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Who knows the series of things. The sense I get from this clip is that it's probably earlier in the season as they're getting closer and closer to New Vegas and they're coming across different groups and different people, it would make sense that maybe they run into somebody like Cass. That could happen. She seems like a good character to bring in from New Vegas. I have a feeling they're going to bring in a number of people that just kind of show up from that game. Any other thoughts?
And we do see another spoiler for later in the trailer. We do see Victor from New Vegas later in the trailer, too.
Yes. Yes. Or at least it seems like it might be Victor because it's the same. The only thing that really differentiates Victor visually from those other robots is the cowboy on his screen. Right. But is that the same Victor? Is it a duplicate Victor? Is it are there multiple Victors? You could write in a whole lot of things that could throw that up in the air and make it different than what we might expect. So I don't know. The simple answer would be, well, that is Victor. And he's there. Yeah. No, Phil, go ahead.
There are multiple Victors, actually. In the game, when you shoot the original Victor, you later see another one, and House then reveals that Victor is a program that he can activate.
Yeah, it's like there's a backup, if I recall. Victor has a backup, and then he ends up in another body.
Yeah.
But it's technically the same Victor. Memory wise. So yeah, there could be complexity on that. Like, is that the same or is it, how does that work? For sure. Well, here, let's keep going with the trailer. Let me get to the little stinger here with the prime. This is going to demonetize me. I'm going to cut ahead a little bit. I don't want to get kicked off of Spotify here.
Why would my dad go to Las Vegas?
You want to know why the world ended? It started here with one man.
It's all over.
All right, so we've got the scene of the desert going up to New Vegas and the desolation, how busted everything is, busted up. A reference to why would her father want to go to New Vegas? Well, it all started with one man. Clearly he's talking about House, or at least seems to be talking about House. What do you guys think? Silas, go for it. And feel free to just chime in. If we both chime in at the same time, then we'll figure it out as we go. But go ahead.
I've got a feeling that it's going to try to go a little more into who actually started the war. Because the way it sounds, it makes it sound like he was a very big proponent in the actual start. Because, it makes sense with him having so much knowledge leading up to it with the platinum chip and getting his place all fortified and everything.
Well, yeah, somehow House predicted the day within a day of the bombs dropping. So he has knowledge about something that would help with that prediction. Now, why or how isn't exactly explained in the game, as far as I recall.
He was at the Vault-Tec meetings, wasn't he?
Yes, in season one, he is in a meeting with Vault-Tec. He's among the other powerful, corporate CEOs and conglomerate people. So that's a piece of it. So he's clearly plugged in. He's clearly, if not part of the Enclave and Vault-Tec and that web of connected individuals, he's at least, tangentially related to them in some way, has done business with them or something. So there's something going on there with that.
It almost makes me believe that House is the one that fired the bombs because of how much he has around Vegas.
Yeah, but he was wrong by one day. Did something happen that took that power away from him? Was he planning to then initiate a bomb attack, which would create the retaliation and more bombs dropping on a specific day because he was going to do it, but somebody else acted before him?
Could be. It also could be that somebody agreed upon a day and then went back on it, or he was trying to make it look realistic so it didn't look like him.
Maybe. Well, the other thing here is that we're getting the ghoul's perspective on this, and the ghoul is saying that this is the man who was behind everything, which seems to imply the guy behind the bombs dropping potentially. But what if his information is limited? What if we see clips later in this where he is talking with Mr. House back in the past before the war. What if he got information from Mr. House, which led him to believe that Mr. House was the one who dropped the bombs, but Mr. House wasn't, because he was wrong? But yet, so then he survives for 200 years thinking Mr. House was because Mr. House was planning to drop the bombs, was the one who was responsible, and yet maybe wasn't responsible.
He planned it and had to do it earlier because something forced his hand or someone.
Maybe. Now, what do you think about the scene here of New Vegas? I have it up on the screen right now.
I do want to talk about this because it's probably one of the cleanest things we've seen of the skyline of New Vegas. I love this scene because it shows so much. But it's funny, in the call I had with Jeremy the other night, I kept getting excited about the highwaymen.
The car.
That is a highwayman car.
That's sitting in the front of the scene.
That's from the OG Fallout.
Yeah. 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 And the broken down highway that it would have driven on.
Yeah. The only thing that's not really explained is the canyon.
I was just about to comment on that.
No, that feels wrong, but it is Fallout New Vegas. That is me having played New Vegas.
Well, what if something happened that caused... What if something caused the canyon?
Lonesome road, guys.
Yeah.
It's
either that or...
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We bombs also exploding. Don't see the solar array.
Yeah.
But that could just be the angle that you're looking at it from.
Right.
Also, like, if you haven't been to Vegas, it's a lot bigger than you would think.
Right.
So also,
you got all the suburbs surrounding it. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they probably, since they're coming from the LA area, they're probably traveling to the east. So we're looking at Vegas from an east northeast angle, I would assume. It feels like it's a north or east or just east angle.
That would be southeast, wouldn't it?
If they're coming from the southwest.
They're coming from the southwest. So they would be facing northeast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've driven outside of Vegas to go to an event, and it looks like they're coming from the southwest, because it's the left hand side is going to be all the suburbs, and the right hand is going to be the Vegas itself, and the interstate is just as it is. It just goes right up through the middle of it.
Well, and you're right, Lil. This is also interesting because that's the angle that you have to approach Vegas from in the game. Is that you start on the west and you have to go south and then north. So you're now traveling north and east in order to get to Vegas, unless you go the hard way, which is possible, but is tough. So that's interesting, is that they're approaching it from the same angle that we would have approached it from the game, most likely. So that's cool too, right?
Yeah. So, but it's knowing what Vegas should look like and New Vegas looks like, it's exciting. The only thing I wish that they will touch upon is the giant ravine. What caused that? That's all I want to know right now.
Well, Nova has a theory. Nova, you want to remind people about this?
It's just Lonesome Road expanding, guys. Remember, there's no ravine actually where Lonesome Road is. That was from the nukes going off.
Right. Ah. Right. The nukes. Or what if there would what if there's been other conflict in the 15 years that has caused some sort of massive something? Also, if you look at
the
city,
Colorado River just diverting.
It could have been a diverted river. It maybe something with a dam caused water to move in a different direction. Also, if you look at it, it doesn't look super in good condition. This is something that pops up later in the trailer as well. There are multiple times where the strip looks like it's not fully under control by House and protected the way it previously was.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something catastrophic that happened.
Yeah, this will give us a canon ending to New Vegas, if I'm correct, right?
I think a lot of people are expecting it to. And there's been a lot of speculation around, well, if this is what this is telling us, and this is what we'll get to some of that stuff, then it has to be this ending. But let's keep. And there's a lot of different variations on endings. That's the other thing. Right. It's not just who takes Hoover Dam, and did you side with House or did you side with the Legion or the NCR or something like that? There's a lot of these sub endings for all the little different groups. So there's some variety there as well. But here, let's keep moving, because we've got to get through this whole trailer. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to say. So on to the next part. So I'm going to lower the sound here because I don't want to get demonetized, but it's showing us back in time.
The silver screen. And like yourself, I am the very best. But what I do, but and what I do,
is I know everything.
All right, so what do you all think about House here? It's a different actor than it was in season one, by the way.
Okay, I actually like the look of the new house. I actually really like how he looks. It definitely feels more like House. The first time we see him in, you know, season one, he felt a bit young for House.
Okay.
Right. But like this one feels very like this feels very well. Like we all know that he was based off of Hefner.
Yes. Yeah. House. In fact, a number of different characters are all based off of Hugh Hefner and a combination of him and like Walt Disney and like some other people. So they all have very similar, like slicked, dark black hair, funny little mustache, like that kind of stuff, which was stylish in the 50s and 60s.
This one feels a lot more like that. Like the first one didn't really give that feel to it, but this one's 100% giving me House vibe. Hugh Hefner house.
Right. I like that we get scenes of Cooper and his wife in the car going to Las Vegas. Clearly he meets with House because of some sort of connection with him promoting Vault Tech and being a celebrity or something. Something brings them there. Probably a trip with his wife because she works with Vault Tech. So that all of that connective stuff makes sense. We get this little scene where Lucy's waking up and she's in a room. And if you notice the mat on the floor, that's the Tops. That symbol, like that spoken, I don't know what to call that, but that it's like a little star.
It's a roulette wheel.
Is that what it's called? Is it a roulette wheel?
I'm pretty sure it looks like a roulette wheel.
It looks like a mobile that you would hang that would have like planets on the ends of each of those points. That's what it reminds me of. But there's also a Giddy Up Buttercup next to her. And there's some sort of painted in scene behind her. Is this at the casino? Where do you think this is?
So the scene behind her got that was vault? This was pointed out by a friend of mine in Pumpkins. It looks to be the same scene that the projector was projecting.
Yes,
inside
in her
the
vault. You're right. You're right. In season one, in the vault, it was projecting this cornfield and the farmhouse. What if somebody who knows everything knows what her vault was like and created a room to make her feel comfortable at the Tops?
Or he has his own vault.
Yeah. Or, well, he does have his own vault, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't played New Vegas.
So what is it? Vault. What's the vault there on the strip that gets turned into a casino?
22, sorry.
Yeah, I always forget the numbers. Is it 22 or 21?
No, 20. I think it's 21.
21?
22 21. Is the plant vault.
Okay, 21. Yeah, so vault 21 on the strip, if House is in control of that, or if she ends up at that vault, I don't know. There's also a dress there that like is hanging on a thing, which looks...
There's also a brand new thing of sugar bombs.
The sugar bombs
are
there.
Sugar bombs is like stands out like a sore thumb to me.
What looks to be a hot plate on top of the dresser.
Yeah, it almost looks like a set instead of an actual hotel room.
That's what me and Void were thinking when we first watched it. It felt like a movie set.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, let's move forward a little bit. We've got that scene. Then we have Victor, or at least what looks like Victor, right? Cowboy face on the robot. And then we have Cooper in the back, the ghoul. It's clearly now not the past. So...
That
What's
is also,
going on here?
If you look at the poster behind Cooper, that is also a NCR Ranger asking you to join them.
Yep, and on the left, there's the NCR flag up on the wall.
This has to be the casino, the Lucky 38.
You think this is the Lucky 38? It could be.
Because I'm looking at the ceiling and like just the light fixtures and stuff like that, and like everything's under construction almost. So like, it's been a while since I played New Vegas, but I remember it's just not a lot being inside because like no one was allowed in there.
Yeah, so he falls out of the Lucky 38 in a later part of the trailer.
Is that the Lucky 38?
No, he does not.
No.
It's the Wrangler.
It's the Atomic Wrangler.
It's the Wrangler. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. We didn't get to that yet. I'm misremembering which place it is.
My theory for what it was, for what this what's in the scene, is it's the embassy after the NCR has fallen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes more sense. Maybe. That makes more
sense.
That's
what it kind of gave me the vibe.
No, that makes a lot more sense.
There would be no NCR stuff in the Lucky 38, so.
And it's a little bit more disheveled, because like I feel like even though there was no one in the Lucky 38, it was more put together.
Well, it depends. Like if an NCR, if you have an NCR being successful kind of ending to New Vegas, then they may continue to take over more of the strip in these other locations.
Also, this is not the casino. There's windows.
And there's windows. You're right. There's windows.
Unless this is the Atomic Wrangler.
It could be the Wrangler.
That could be it.
Okay, so let's go to House and his view here with the gigantic screen.
The face screen. That just like, oh my God.
Like this is right out of the game.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, this whole thing, they probably didn't build this. This has got to be CGI, right? Because this screen is ridiculous. CRT screens don't get that big as far as I remember. But that's great that this thing actually exists here. Now, there are windows behind it, so the placement is a little different than it is in the game, because it's in kind of like a closed-off room, if I recall correctly. But that it doesn't mean that he couldn't have multiple of these little workstations. You know, he's freaking House. So I don't know if there's anything else on that clip. So here, let's get to the next section. Let's move this forward a little bit.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I think the big question is that we see Victor, it means House is alive. Right.
Does it have to mean House is alive? There's a Victor ending where House doesn't survive, right?
Is there?
I think so.
Yeah, Independent New Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Independent New Vegas, Victor survives, but House doesn't necessarily.
I thought that was Yes Man.
Oh, was it Yes Man? Oh, man, I'm confusing the two. Oh, no.
That's Yes Man. Yeah, not Victor. Well,
because
yeah.
Victor disappears if you kill House, so.
Victor, yes. That's
House
right.
Sends Victor to bring the ghoul and Lucy to him, similar like he did with the courier.
Maybe. I think that would be fun.
It's already implied that Hank is after House.
Mm-hmm. It's implied. So or whoever's in charge.
What would House do? Probably knowing that Hank is going after him?
Possibly. Possibly.
Well,
he knows
he's trying to kill House, or is he using him to get access to technology?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, I got House and Victor and Yes Man mixed up on that ending. You're right. Victor disappears, and we don't know what happens to him. Yes Man can survive, and in some situations, you either kill House or you disconnect him.
Yes,
is kind of what goes on.
Him. Yeah, you can disconnect him from the.
Yeah.
And maybe this is what happened. Maybe he got disconnected and then he managed to get reconnected later.
Maybe. I this is one of the things that... Oh, and by the way, Lil Green, I think you're unmuted and we're getting little sounds when you move around. Yeah, thank you. This is one of the things that whenever I watch other people do these speculation videos about this kind of stuff, they will always jump to the shortest version of the answer. It's like, okay, if the last thing we saw was Victor disappeared, then Victor is alive somewhere. Okay, well, he was alive somewhere, but 15 years ago by. That doesn't, like, if I was writing this story, that doesn't mean that I couldn't write in, they find, you know, his remains somewhere because something happened off camera. You know, like, whenever you have a huge time gap, other things can happen that you can then explain that they happened. So, yes, if something can't happen, then it can't happen. But if something could possibly happen, even if it's unlikely, it's still possible. So this is just one of those weird things about speculating that always drives me nuts when people just go, well, this absolutely has to be true. And it's like, it does it? Not necessarily. That's not how that works. But anyway, yeah, good thoughts on this here. Let's keep this going. Let's see what happens next. All right, Brotherhood.
There's a war coming. The bombs will only be the beginning. My concern is that you would do just about anything to save your family.
Okay, so we're getting some glimpses here of some different stuff, right? We've got the Brotherhood, we have the Legion, but the narration here is House talking about how a war is coming, the bombs will drop, and you will do anything to save your family. This is the conversation he's having with Cooper back in the past. But it seems to also be like double entendre. It seems to be implying that war is coming now again to New Vegas because the Legion is still there. And there's Cooper's, you know, cocking his shotgun or whatever, all of that kind of stuff. Do you guys get the same vibe from that? Does it feel like it's it means both bit, at the same time? That's kind of how it feels. Also,
there's also a lot to unpack in these scenes.
Yes.
Yeah, there are. So here, I'm going to jump back to here's the Brotherhood stuff, right? The vertebrates, and then what is the one of the big giant ships? It may or may not be the Pridwin, because we find out that there's multiple of these in a later scene. So what's going on with that? But also on this scene, this is one of those scenes that's very interesting because you zoom in. This is Area 51. That they're at. And so it seems to imply that the Brotherhood has taken over Area 51, which is fun. What do you think about that?
It's definitely going to be strange. I do hope that they really lean into Area 51 being the weird and wacky thing that the stories do of the time period.
Yeah. Like, does the Brotherhood hilarious. Now have more information about aliens and alien technology?
We Void went into that.
Yeah.
I was asking, like, I hope to God that they play into the story of Area 51 and we see something regarding the Zaytans.
Something. Yeah, that would be really, really cool. But it also makes me wonder how many of these other kinds of military bases has the Brotherhood taken over and still occupies? Because it seems like they occupy this place, but maybe they don't. Maybe they've already taken everything out of it and they don't need to stay there. Then why would it show up in the scene?
Fort Atlas is a base in 76.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any others that I'm missing? I played 76 recently.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, there's the Fallout Pentagon. 4. There's the Pentagon in Fallout 3. There's they have multiple of these airships, which are just kind of mobile bases.
Right.
There's whatever the base was that Maximus was at in season 1, which was somewhere we don't know necessarily where. I have a feeling
bunkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's bunkers. I have a feeling that and this is another one of those things that the fan base has typically done is where they'll be like, well, we know that the Brotherhood is at this base and at this base, and we know the Enclave had an oil rig, and we know that this and know that. And then they're just like, well, that's most of it. And maybe there's some other locations out there, but they've been around for over 200 years. Why wouldn't they have bases all over the place?
Right.
Right. You know, like that seems reasonable. Now, they may not have to be in huge numbers, but 50 men at a base in New Mexico. Why not? You know, because maybe they're trying to fight back from the Legion in one of their locations or in.
Also, can't forget the entire Midwest Brotherhood, which we have literally no information about.
Right.
Chicago.
Right. Right.
Chicago. I think there's one down in Texas.
Right. But imagine maybe there's a dozen in Texas. Texas is huge. Maybe there's two or three in the, you know, Illinois, Chicago area.
Like, there's got to be some in Montana. How many nuclear bases do they have?
Right, right. Like it doesn't mean you have to have 1,000 people at one of these bases in order for it to be a Brotherhood location. I mean, just look at the number of Brotherhood soldiers in any one of the games at any one of their places. And I know that the games are scaled down, but still, you know, you could easily include multiple numbers in multiple locations across many different places. So anyway, just another one of those things where I'm just like, I don't know, people tend to think a little bit too small on this stuff. And just because there isn't necessarily like strong evidence for it doesn't mean it's not possible. I'm not saying it definitely is, but it is possible. So anyway, I'll get off my little horse here and we'll keep moving because I know you guys have other thoughts. So
talk about the Legion.
Yeah. So let's jump up to the Legion. So it looks like Lucy is captured here. You guys get that sense?
Yep.
Lucy being captured.
Yeah. Oh, probably. But I have a feeling that the person we see from behind, like very clearly, he's like the leader of the group.
In the later clip where we see ahead. Like the whole group. Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump to that because where was that on the timeline?
122.
122. Right. It's real close. This one. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't showing up in my little preview. Yes. Okay. So I have a theory about this too. What do you think about the group with the Legion standing there and all the different Legion? So, also, by the way, I love that they're wearing like football pads still.
Can I just say who the actor is and I can prove it?
Okay. Let me do it, Void, please.
Okay.
Please,
go for it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So one, I'm convinced that that's the Legate 100%.
Okay.
And now I'm going to bring this up before I mention that I'm pretty sure. So we know Macaulay Culkin is in this season. We know
Yes.
Macaulay Culkin is playing in this season. I am convinced 100% without a doubt that Macaulay Culkin is the Leggett.
Yeah, I think it is him. I agree. And I've seen the pictures where people have posted the back of his head and his ears look the same. Yes. And I'm like, that's absolutely Macaulay Culkin, which is a wonderful casting for this. Now, what makes you think it's the Leggett?
The armor is
The
100%
little
Leggett.
pokey things on the shoulders?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
pokey thing, it's got the muscly armored.
But it is the Legion. If somebody else took him out and took his armor, then it could be a different person.
Well, the Leggett is just a title. The Leggett is whoever wears the who is ever in that position.
Okay, but do you think it's the same one? What was his name in Vegas?
Probably not. Is Lanius? Probably
Lanius?
not, because
Yeah.
wasn't Joshua Graham considered a Leggett as well before he got thrown off?
Was he
Yeah.
the same rank? I don't
Yes,
remember the
he
rank.
was
He
the
was?
Legate, and then Lanius took over after he lost at Hoover
Okay,
Dam.
okay.
So it's just a rank.
Right. So it would make sense that he's the Leggett. I was thinking Lanius or Lanius, however you pronounce his name, that it's the same person as that, which would mean that he's fairly old. I'm not sure that that tracks
I
for
mean,
Macaulay
Macaulay
Culkin.
Culkin is kind of around. He's not maybe not around the same age,
He's got
but
to be what,
it's
like
Macaulay
45,
Culkin,
50 years old? So maybe
like that.
something like that. Yeah, could be. I also love that like the other legionaries, they have like regular looking freaking sunglasses on and football pads and metal pieces and things like that. Like they did them so well. Do you guys agree? Could they have done this better?
100%, especially since there is a line in, I'm pretty sure there's a line in New Vegas of a character going, yeah, they wear football pads,
Yes.
whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we've got that. We've got Maximus here zooming on his face. We have the first scene with the big old dino in the background. Who wants to chime in? Who hasn't talked yet? Who has thoughts on this? Because this is Novak.
We can't
Silas.
see it. You haven't
Oh,
moved it
sorry,
to
go ahead.
the.
Go ahead. Silas, what are you thinking?
So this kind of leads into my whole overarching theory about this whole season. I think that Lucy and the ghoul are going to be doing some quests that the courier does in the show.
Oh, they're going to be like retracing his
So
steps.
they will probably canonize like the final ending with whatever house and whatnot, but I do think that they are specifically not having the courier do everything that they can do. So I think here and later in a sh in the trailer, it shows someone getting sniped from the mouth of the dinosaur.
Do you think it's still Boone?
I am not sure because they do show a scene with Lucy in the mouth with a
Yes.
rifle.
Right.
But it does make me think that it possibly could be, you know.
Could be.
I don't know how sharpshooter Lucy is. I know she's good at shooting guns because she did in the vault, but
Yeah, or
that
she's,
doesn't necessarily.
maybe they get attacked while they're there, and so she runs up there in order to like give him cover while he fights everybody on the ground. It could be something as simple as that. Or maybe that was the only safe place to go. There's a scene later where the guy gets thrown in the pool and explodes. like maybe they're coming out of the actual, maybe like whoever the bad guys are in that situation. I'm not sure what they are or who they are, but maybe they're inside the little motel itself, and so she runs into the dinosaur for cover and ends up in the top and maybe shooting down at people. I don't know. But yeah, maybe this covers some of the same spots. Little green.
Silas, I have like a similar theory, very, very similar, but I'll say that later at the end.
You sure? You don't want to just share it?
Oh, I'm gonna say the courier never happened
Oh, wow. Okay. So
because I feel like if the courier was there, like the Legion wouldn't be there, or like all the faction, like something massive would have happened. So like if war's coming. That's Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam never happened.
Or maybe it did, and somebody's trying to take it back.
Or because my thing is like if war is coming, Hoover Dam never happened, and now the sparks have been lit because
Or,
someone
oh,
tipped the scales. That
maybe.
is my thing.
Yeah.
So they're not like this is just the canon ending for Fallout. It doesn't affect what happened with New Vegas because it's a whole different timeline now.
Maybe. I mean, that could happen. Another way to interpret that war is coming and that everyone's getting all uppity and in each other's business is maybe something happens to House and he's not there to maintain the peace anymore. And so now it's just open season on the strip and everybody's trying to get a piece. That could be a piece of it, too. That's what's so interesting about all of this is it could go any of these directions, right? Like your idea, this idea, any of these ideas could happen. So that's fun. That's
a lot of fun. Like my whole thing with like the canon endings is like you're the player. You're like we are not in this series. So we like everything that happens in like DC like doesn't happen because like the player's not there. The decisions aren't made. So they're just making their own ending to it in their own way.
Maybe.
So like everything is set up. Yeah. And everything's been boiling over. But like now, because the ghoul and Susie are there, the spark, like the fuse is lit. Mm. And now everything's running.
So they are taking the role of the courier.
Yes, they are now the player.
They are the player. They are the courier in this situation.
Yes.
Maybe. Here, let's move it forward a little bit. We've got scenes of Cooper's wife at the Vault-Tec location, Cooper and his daughter. They're reminding us that he had a family, that maybe his daughter's still out there somewhere. Who knows? Keep your loved ones safe with him in the thumbs up, reminding us about all that stuff. I feel like that's all pretty obvious kinds of pieces, right? There's not a whole lot hidden in there. It just seems kind of obvious. You guys, Void, do you have anything else or are you ready to move on? You good? Okay, cool. Here, let's keep it going.
I think you are actually quite a violent man. You just don't want to kill me yet.
Okay, so what does that mean? Why would Cooper, in the past, before he has to become a violent individual to survive the wasteland, want to murder House? Was House doing something that would make him want to kill him?
Because House launched the bombs.
But this is before the bombs drop, right? So he doesn't necessarily know that yet?
I think...
Cooper 6, he drops a bomb, or might drop the bombs.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So maybe he reveals to Cooper that he has a plan to bring about the end of the world, and that's what he would think Cooper would want to murder him for?
Yes.
Okay. Silas, what do you think?
I think it could potentially be, since Cooper was listening in on the video call that his wife was in before the bombs, he knows House's voice and knows that he suggested some of the, you know, terrible ideas of the vaults. Mm. And so he's confronted them about that. Like, why would you suggest that as an experiment, you know?
Right, right. Could it be that House has done something to... with or to his wife? I mean, this could mean terrible influence. House was the influence that made her decide to move forward with these terrible ideas, which are creating a divide between them. Or there was an affair, or there was something else going on that would create a guttural, violent reaction in a man. I mean, that's a little far-fetched, but it to imply that he would want to murder him on the spot and the bombs haven't even dropped yet. Like, I would totally get the perspective of it's now 200 years after the bombs, you know, that he knows that House is responsible for something and is now going to seek vengeance on him. Right. Like, because he's freaking the ghoul at this point. But Cooper Howard, the actor, wanting to murder somebody seems a little extreme. I don't know. Makes me wonder.
Well, OK, wasn't in season one, he put a listening device on her and he heard the conversation of saying, even if, like, during the conversation with all the company saying, even if we have to do it ourselves?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same question, but it's the question of, did that happen before or after he went to Vegas, though?
Right, I don't know
because it's almost implied that immediately following that immediately following him sneaking, sneaking that listening device on the listening bug onto his wife's Pip-Boy, that their marriage immediately fell apart, which is why he was doing birthday parties instead of being an actor. It could be reading too far into that. They could have had a few months, in between where they tried to reconsolidate, but that just at least what I've figured. I think it's more that Cooper Howard what were you saying?
I mean, it could be like the Vegas trip could have happened just after that, just after him finding that out.
I think you're right about that, Pumpkin. I think the Vegas trip happens after he has that knowledge. That's why he's suspicious. Yeah. That's why he confronts House in a conversation that he otherwise wouldn't have had. That makes sense.
And that Vegas trip is what leads to the marriage falling apart.
Potentially.
And his reputation being damaged.
Right, right. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Maybe there's some other stuff going on. I don't know. I don't know how that timeline fits together. I'm not really sure. Well, here, let's move on because we've definitely got more stuff. Okay, before we get to more Brotherhood stuff, we have this scene with Hank, right? That's his name, in the power armor, and he's walking into what appears to be an underground gigantic Vault-Tec building. What is going on with this? Is this in New Vegas? Is this underground New Vegas? Is this another Vault-Tec vault that's just for, it's like a Vault Zero kind of, or Vault City kind of thing going on in Vegas?
So we know that there's like a large amount of underground in Vegas, not even just with the vault itself, but with, you have the shooting range that House shows you. So we know that there's an expanse underneath of Vegas. We just don't know how big it is. So I have this feeling that this is going to be like a continuation onto that.
Right. Now, do you think that this is connected to, I mean, you can even see the pipes that go up to the ceiling on like one of those big structures as if it's directly underneath some sort of other structure. Do you think that maybe this is connected to House? Maybe House was behind Vault-Tec all along. And that's why the implication of the man who was behind everything that maybe that's the big reveal, is that House is Vault-Tec.
I don't think it's going to reveal that he is Vault-Tec, but one thing that I do remember is that he was like heavily making deals with Vault-Tec to the point where like he had like a massive amount of shares in it that allowed him to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that would mean also opening up a gigantic Vault-Tec location underground. I don't know.
I mean, where do you think his computer servers are?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It could have been just part of the deal where his central computer was housed underground because he provided all the software and technology to Vault-Tec, using Rob, who used almost exclusively Robco computers. And so maybe in exchange for that contract, they just built him a private vault, a subterranean vault underneath his underneath Las Vegas for him to use as to store all everything he needed.
Maybe so. Now, the other thing I find interesting about this is that Hank is approaching this location still in his power armor. Now, like I've stated before, it doesn't necessarily mean that he went directly from the end of season one, kept his power armor the full time and into this location. He may take it off and on, and this could be later on where he has to put it back on because he has to venture out through somewhere dangerous in order to get to this location, right? There can be lots of other variables happening in between. But it seems to imply that this is the location that he was headed to when he left at the end of season one. You guys get the sense of that? Silas, you're nodding. You feel like that might be accurate? So, and it makes sense that he's going to another Vault-Tec location because he might know people there or know what technology is there that can help him or whatever that he's trying to do. I don't know. I don't have anything else on this specific scene.
Would this maybe be at the Big Empty?
Underground Big Empty? I don't know.
The Big Empty is also thought to be, I'm pretty sure, much further east, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not exactly
it's in California.
Yeah, it's...
Then it's much farther west.
It would be farther west, yeah.
This would not be Big Empty.
Yeah, unless it's later on, like maybe at the end of the season, he leaves New Vegas and heads over there for something. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes they'll do that. They'll put things in a trailer that happen like later on in the season or at the end of the movie. And so you kind of get everything out of order in your head. And you're like, well, maybe this happens earlier, but it doesn't. Well, here, let's keep going. Okay, so a few things pop up in this little section. We have Maximus riding in a vertibird with, let me see if I can get back to it, with somebody he's smiling to. This is, what's his name? The actor's name fell out of my brain. He's a funny guy. He was in one of the Ghostbusters movies recently. He was in Eternals. You know what I'm talking about? Kamal Nanjiani, is that it? Is that his name? You guys don't know?
I don't think that's him. I think that's actually the guy who plays the Superman in, was it Supergirl, and then Superman and Lois?
Is it? I think it's Kamal. But maybe I'm wrong. I heard some speculation though that he is the Brotherhood soldier who saves Maximus when Maximus was a child. And that's going to be like a fun little twist here. Like, they end up
real young to be
up.
That guy.
Maybe. I mean,
that was my sword as well.
He could be 40. The Maximus we know is like early 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So we got that. We've got some more like walking around in power armor. We've got some explosions and snowy field. Is this Alaska?
Anchorage.
Is this Anchorage, Alaska?
Operation Anchorage.
Absolutely.
No, it's Jacobstown.
It's Jacobstown?
God, no.
Because we have that. We have soldier walking. This looks like T-45. And then we see Cooper in the armor. So it looks like we're getting flashbacks to his time in the service, probably serving in Operation Anchorage. That seems pretty obvious. You guys have any other thoughts on that?
I think that's T-51B.
Is it 51B? It looks like 45. Because
the helmet.
Is the helmet?
No, it's a T-45. You can see it on the shoulders. The T-51 doesn't have the loops on the shoulders.
Yeah, the little holes on the shoulder sides. Mm. That's
oh,
what.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's what makes me think
the
45.
The helmet makes it feel like 51B.
Yeah, like what you're saying, it looks much more rounded than it should be. But yeah, there are the.
It's the pauldrons. It's the shoulders.
You know, pauldrons.
Yeah.
From what I've gotten it from this is that we're also going to be seeing a lot of the battle at Anchorage, which I'm really looking forward to.
Well, we're at least getting a flashback, if not a lot.
A flashback.
We could.
I would like
might
to
be
see
a lot.
It, like a bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why this show is so awesome, because I've been dying for more pre-war content that's not, you know, a snapshot from a terminal.
Yeah.
Actual
right.
Video is fantastic.
Right. Right. All right, let's move on to the next scene. Okay, this is the scene where Cooper blows up a guy in a pool and then tips his hat, seemingly looking at Lucy, I would guess. And I don't know that we can tell who this is that fell into the pool, but there are other bodies around. He had to kill a bunch of people at Novak. What's going on with that? I'm not really sure. It feels like it's an early thing. Like as they approach the strip, they have to go through some of these locations, kind of like what Lil Green was saying, almost like the courier. And they just end up in these situations where they have to deal with stuff.
I also think that the thing that's in the pool that hangs off over the diving board, I'm fairly certain that that is a gallows.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that that is a gallows. It looks like Novak has been taken over by some group. Is this a raider group? Is this the cons? Are these ghouls? It's so zoomed out. We can't really tell. And then we can see the body parts getting blown around after the explosion. But that's about it. And Lucy doesn't look too happy about this whole killing everybody thing.
I can see she's an M1 carbine, though.
Yeah.
So going through when he grabs the grenade, going through that very slowly. The person behind him, behind the guy who had the grenade, has a bandolier on that is full of rounds, and they've got a trench coat on. I don't know if that's describing any group in particular.
Yeah, it could be anybody, because anybody can take that gear and use it. It does sound a little like an NCR Ranger, but I'm not sure that that's for sure. Also, dog meat is still here, so that's good. Good old dogs. Everybody loves dogs. All right, let's keep this going.
Let's get lucky, shall we?
Okay, so what's the deal with the chicken guy? Why is the chicken guy back? What's he doing? Any theories on this?
If you've got chickens, he's here to... I'm not going to finish that sentence.
I don't know. But then we get the scene where you're right. He's falling out of the Wrangler casino building. All right, so this scene we absolutely have to pause on because it looks like the Brotherhood is fighting against the Brotherhood. Am I wrong? Or am I right?
I absolutely agree. It looks like the Brotherhood has a real civil war going on there.
Yes.
Also, this was to me a big shocker. The Brotherhood has at least 4 airships.
Yes, and this goes back to my other point, is that just because we only see a limited amount of stuff in the games doesn't mean that they aren't more developed and bigger than we've seen. So does each airship represent a different group of the Brotherhood? Or a different leader with a different agenda?
I don't think so, because what it looks like, it's 2-on-2.
Okay, because there's 2 on the right and 2 on the left, and it looks like there's bullets going back and forth between
them.
The
one that's crashing is coming from the right, though, so that wouldn't make much sense, because it's not going to turn if it got shot down.
unless it took out some of the engines, and one half of the engines are working and starts spinning as it falls, right? Like, aircraft can do that. So, but if that's not the case, then it does appear like it's coming from the group. Now it's a 3-on-1 scenario. So right. Maybe you're right about that. I don't know. Ebony, you had something you wanted to chime in.
I think this is, so in Fallout Tactics, in the very beginning of it, you see multiple multiple blimps going from Vault Zero. Mm. I think this is East Coast and West Coast Brotherhood fighting each other.
Could be. What do you think they're fighting over? Hank leaves and gets the whatever the thing is, the MacGuffin from season one. What was that called? The cold fusion thing. Does the Brotherhood get a hold of that, and that incites a civil war where one group wants it from the other group? Maybe something like that.
I believe it does, because I think the Enclave is controlling Maximus's sect.
Oh, they've been compromised.
Yeah.
Interesting. Which is why they were involved with trying to get the cold fusion thing back in the first season.
Because they never say who on high gave that command.
Yeah, that could be true. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Any other thoughts on this one?
I think it's the Brotherhood group that was abandoned, because we don't know. We know that they're there, but we don't know what resources they really have.
The ones from New Vegas.
Yeah, because like you come across them, they're in like a random bunker,
right?
And so maybe there was a rift for some reason, and they just got why'd you leave us here? And now
a
they're
rift
just trying
in the
to
Brotherhood?
Over.
That would never happen. Oh wait, yes it does. Absolutely.
I mean, it could be that, but it's just like, if they had the airships, where were they? That's really it. But
but they might be stationed at different bases around the country, and they all flew to this location.
But that's my little thing. So it's just they're not as unified as we think.
I agree.
I kind of think it's specifically maybe even 4 separate groups of the Brotherhood coming to a central location to discuss what to do about the cold fusion, and saying, everyone has their own different idea of how they should get it back or get it out of the hands of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a meeting of the 4 groups, not just East and West Coast.
Could be. I don't know. Like, you could divide it all sorts of different ways. We do know that the group that Maximus was a part of seems to be going way more into the cultish religious side of things. And some of these Brotherhood groups don't really go that far in that direction. So there could be massive ideological rifts that have grown from these different, at least locations of Brotherhood that turn them into their own groups. All of that is possible. I think that's all definitely possible. Here, let's keep this moving.
Fallout 1
Oh, go ahead.
says established that there are four elders in the Brotherhood, and the High Elder in Fallout 1, the faction from Fallout 1, tells the Vault Dweller the only thing the elders ever can agree upon is that there are four of them.
Yes, okay, yeah, no, hey, that's a good point too.
So
maybe each one of these is an elder?
These are the four elders that have, like, divided the Brotherhood chapters among themselves, and everyone has, like, its core of power.
I like that theory. That's a cool idea.
I thought it was going to be East versus West, like someone else said, but because they can't agree on who is the High Elder now, whether it's
yes,
it's Arthur Maxon, or if it's whoever was a legacy elder on the West Coast.
Right.
Yes, remained. Yes. I was going into the same... had the same train of thought.
Yeah, that would make sense too. I like all of these ideas. These all seem like they're possible. All right, let's keep it going. Okay, so this is the point where we get like lots of different little clips, right? So going backwards, we have this slow motion bullet that's very similar to the opening of New Vegas. Lucy's shooting a gun. There's a very much a rad scorpion, a very gross looking rad scorpion here. So that's exciting. I don't know if there's too much to say about that stuff. We have fighting outside of Gomorrah on the strip. Clearly, things are going to go down in New Vegas. These are some more of those scenes where things look a little bit rough. Let me see if I can't scroll to.
I got a question about season one. What were the two vaults? What was the one vault that they were investigating? The brother at the end that he got caught with.
So there was 31, 32, and 33.
So no, she's from 33. 32 was where like the Rangers
31.
Were in, correct? Oh, never mind. Because one
the,
of the
31 is the investigated one.
Okay, because the scene with the rad roaches, it's 31 vault suits. So do we see the history? Like what happens?
Yeah, I'm trying
to
get to it. It won't let me. Here, let me. I'll turn off the sound.
It's like 209.
Yeah, it's like only previewing little sections.
I can confirm, yes, that is Vault 31 vault suits.
Okay, so yeah, here's the scene. Here's everybody top down looking at a table. And hit play. That's too far. Let me go back again. I'm trying to get it on here. Okay, well, that was it. Come back just a little bit. There we go. 31. These are Vault 31 vault suits. Rad roaches all over the place. So we're definitely going to get more about what was going on in Vault 31. So you got that. Ebony, what did you want to add?
So the only thing I would add is the Ghoul Kings.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it looks like the Ghoul is fighting the Kings, but they're both ghoulified, which seems to imply that maybe all of them are.
I think the Legion set off one of those radiation bombs in Freeside, like the other city they did.
Okay.
First Light.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think it makes it... If you think about it from a writer, producer of a TV series standpoint, and if you were to include the Kings, because fans are going to want to have them show up, and they're just a bunch of Elvis-looking regular dudes, that's not particularly exciting or interesting. In fact, it feels kind of weird. But if you ghoulify them, that feels very Fallout-y to an audience that has only ever seen the first season of Fallout. Does that make sense? It kind of pushes
also,
is it.
Is that the entrance to the tops right behind them?
It is. Yeah, it's an entrance to the tops. And there's some other little signs up there that are advertising some other things next to the tops sign. I'm not sure what those are. But then outside of this is like broken down cars and what look like trailers and things like that. So I don't think this is like the main entrance, but this may be another, maybe like a gift shop or something outside the strip. It doesn't feel like it's on the strip. The ground is all dirt. So I'm not really sure about that one. Void?
There's also another small clip, a Securitron with, I'm willing to bet, that's Hank in the power armor. On his back, he's wearing a super sledge.
Okay.
So at some point, we're going to see a super sledge.
What we think is.
Right. We can only really tell by the handle because it looks like a fuel tank.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like the inclusion of these very specific Fallout weapons. I think that's smart. We also get in the very next scene, this is where we get the Death Claw. And it, hold on, let me get it just right so you guys can see it. Put the sound back on.
I defer to you about what to do in this situation.
How good is that? What do you guys think about the Death Claw? I'm seeing a lot of nodding.
Oh my god.
I love
that,
it.
That is exactly what I envisioned.
When Logan and I and a couple of our buddies all watched it at the same time, I remember just throwing my arms up and screaming, yes.
Yeah.
Because finally we're seeing it. We all wanted to see it in season one. And just that sort of entrance for a Deathclaw is the best way to introduce a Deathclaw.
Yeah, it's shot like a movie monster, right? Like you see the claw, you see a little bit of a horn, you see the claw, and it very easily dents into the vehicle that the thing's climbing on, whatever this is. And then it, like, you see just a very zoomed in of the face and the almost like cataract looking eye, like in the scales and everything. It's also in the dark. What if so, like Lil Green's theory and some of you guys have said, if they're following the route of the courier and they try to go north instead of going south and east and then up to the strip, then they're going to come across Death Claws. Do you think this is in that route, or is this a Death Claw on the strip? Because at the end of season one, there were some hints. There was the skull. There were some Death Claw marks that looked like the strip had actually had Death Claws in it for some reason.
This is a Death Claw on the strip. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It's on the strip?
Because, hold on, in one of the scenes, you see them, hold on, it's, they kill someone in front of the Gamora.
Oh, yes, yes.
And those lights are still right behind it, and they're right in front of that car. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah, the little individual lights that are kind of orange.
Yeah, it also shows them running in front of a building, whereas if you look at like certain, like majority of that area but where the Death Claws are with Sloane, it's just a quarry.
Mm. Yeah. So,
but I'm looking at the car, because when they had the explosion in front of the Gamora, they're in front of a car, and they're both right next to each other as the explosion goes off. So this could just be right after that.
Yeah, I think
with the Death Claw.
I think that is possible. Right there. Okay, I just skipped over it. Yeah, the little orangey looking bulb lights that are around the windows of Gamora, that could be part of this.
And then when you look at the, like, as the Death Claw gets its claws on the top of the car, there's that orange glow in front of, that's front lighting, like front lighting them.
Yep.
Of a fire, so it's like that's, I feel like that's a dead giveaway. It's like whatever explosion just happens, they fall to the ground. Like, oh, fight's done. No, it's not.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that there's something else going on there.
The saloon though, in the top left corner. I don't remember that being on the strip anywhere.
The saloon? Which
scene? With it being a show, it will be different from the game. Yeah. So the strip will be looked. There will be stuff added to
things,
it. So.
Things will be in slightly different locations.
I'm just trying to search my memory because that stood out to me.
When we first saw it, me and Jeremy both agreed that this was a very, like, looking at the Death Claw felt like seeing Smaug for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
In Lord of the, in, was it The Hobbit?
Yes. In the end of The Hobbit. Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. I see the saloon picture on the scene up in the top left now. It looks like UUN, something ABC saloon or something like that.
Yeah. So I was thinking too.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like it's on the strip or just outside. Like maybe this is part of Freeside or something.
When we were watching it, somebody mentioned that, like, the strip has a gate entrance. And that's what they run to slide under.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe. I don't know if that's something. Hmm. But also, I don't know if it's a movie magic fail or whatever. As they're running, the Death Claw is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no, it's one of those scenes where you don't see the bad thing until it shows back up again and it's way too close to them than you would expect.
Of course.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a monster movie kind of thing.
The funny thing was they said it was either, like, it jumped or it was a chameleon Deathclaw, and I'm like, chameleon Deathclaw?
Or that one stayed back and another one ran up and hunts because they're hunting in packs or something. Like, it's going to be something like that, right? Ebony, I know you've had your hand up. Do you want to chime in?
That's them running underneath the credit gate, because you can see the Lucky 38 structural pillars on the outside, and that saloon sign is one of the signs that make up the wall.
Okay.
from Freeside and the Strip.
Okay, so they're like right there. Got it.
Also, yeah. Can we talk about this? Has got to be traumatizing for Lucy because Lucy's never seen a death claw before.
No, that's why she's like, I will.
I would defer to you. In defer. This that was
the
word.
I'll defer to you on the situation because clearly I'm outside of my league here. Yeah. So it seems to show that they stay together until they get to the Strip. That seems to be what happens. What happens with the Legion when she gets captured by them? How do things play after they get to the Strip? I have a feeling that most of what we're seeing is in the first few episodes. And then maybe there's some little sprinklings here of stuff that happens in later episodes. But that's typical for trailers, not to reveal too much of the late season stuff. But there you go. That's most of the big parts. I mean, we've got like little credit kind of things and some other smaller little details that we didn't really go over. But we've hit most of it. Any last thoughts on this? Anybody else have anything else to add before we wrap it up? I think this is exciting. Like this is, the season one was great. It feels like they're still on a roll with season two. I hope people don't get all up in arms about like, well, they picked the wrong New Vegas ending or they didn't pick a New Vegas ending or whatever. Just enjoy the show. Come on. We got we have a wealth of like an embarrassment of wealth of riches here, whatever that phrase is, right? Like how many years have we played a Fallout game and then now we finally get to see all this stuff on a screen and they're doing it this well and we're going to nitpick and get upset about like some other small little detail. Like give me a break. Come on. So that's my perspective on it. But well, thank you, everybody, for joining me. This has been super fun. I love all the different insights and different perspectives and pointing out things that I didn't consider and reminding me about things in New Vegas that I haven't thought about for a while because it's a big game. There's a lot of things that you kind of forget over time if you haven't gone back through the whole thing again recently. So thank you, everybody, for that. Last final question. Do you think that Bethesda is lining up some sort of secret release for season two? In December?
We can hope.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we got like a New Vegas remake or maybe just Fallout 3 remaster or that kind of thing like they did with Oblivion? Like, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I would say Fallout 3 would be first, honestly.
Yeah, I think they'll do it
like,
in order.
Like, I hate, as much as I would love to have the remaster of New Vegas because I have yet to beat that one because of just it of how unstable the game is when I first got it and now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would love to see something like that for sure.
Yeah. I think it would
make
amazing.
More sense for them to do New Vegas, but they would probably do three though. I agree with Little Green.
I have a feeling. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nova.
I'm just saying it make more sense because they already announced they're doing it. So
yeah.
They'd probably stay with the schedule instead of overriding everything and doing a rush job. And it's like, we need to get this out 18 months stat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
because that's what they originally did with Real New Vegas was 18 months development time period.
That's true. That's true. Also, Fallout 3 is less complex to update than New Vegas would be. So there's that. Hey, Neko. Neko's in chat saying hi, everybody. How's it going? All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We're going to go back through everybody. Feel free to share something out into the world real quick. And otherwise, thank you for being here. We're going to go through on my screen. I've got Pumpkin right next to me. Pumpkin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, you all know me. I'm the Pumpkin King. You can always talk to me on the Discord. I do have a blue sky at the Pumpkin King 00, the eyes being ones and the E being a three. I am actually posting on my Blue Sky a lot more recently. I'm starting to get in, finally getting into that. And I officially started the Dungeons and Dipshits Blue Sky, which you can actually find both my Blue Sky and the Dungeons and Dipshit Blue Sky in the Discord in the Blue Sky Pack channel.
Very cool.
So,
yeah.
And yeah, so far that's me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're getting that stuff up and running. Very cool. Yeah, go follow Pumpkin. Lil Green, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here, Tom. So, I mean, you can find me in the Discord under Lil Green, or if you really want to check out some of my stuff, as always, find me on Instagram at lilgreen_photography. I just posted a bunch of stuff recently. I'm planning another photo shoot for the Halloween season. I'm photographing that on the 16th. Yeah.
Okay.
So I get, I'm gearing up, enjoying the cooler weather, shooting a little bit more stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm ready for cooler weather. It doesn't get that cool in Florida, but it's better than scorching hot summer.
The mid 70s in Jersey, and it's been so good.
Oh, that's what, that's what I need. Well, thanks, Lil Green. Nova, what you got?
Yeah, literally nothing going on. Well, my brother's getting married this weekend, so yay.
Oh,
besides that, I don't really do any social medias, but I'm always am on Discord, so if you want to talk to me on there, then feel free to send me a message. It's just Nova Dokimura on Discord.
Very cool. Well, congratulations.
And I am inside this server too, so.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. No Phil, no thrill. Thanks for staying up late and making it work.
I'm just happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, you can find me on the Discord and on Instagram, No Phil, No Thrill. I think I'm also on Blue Sky, but I haven't logged in like forever.
Okay. Well, those other ones are better then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us and staying up late and making it. I know it's a late night for you. All right, Silas, what you got?
Again, thanks for having me here. I really don't have anything to share, so
that's fine.
Thanks for having us.
That's fine. You have tacos on your shirt, so
Yes. My mom owned a restaurant which unfortunately closed its doors a couple weeks ago. So,
I'm sorry.
Still repping the merch though. I'm still repping the merch.
Oh man. Taco restaurant. That sounds great. All right. Well, sorry. Sorry, she had to close the restaurant. Oh man. Void, you've got stuff. What's going on?
Hello. My name is Void or Jeremy. I run the Dungeons and Dipshits Live Play D&D podcast. I try to post every other week. Life gets in the way sometimes. But you can find me on the Discord. My DMs are always open if you want to talk about anything. Mental health is extremely important, so rant if you need to. And the Dungeons and Dipshits podcast people have some projects in the works, whether it's a couple months, a couple years, we have projects.
Decades,
in the works.
Centuries.
Well, one of them we're planning for December time.
Okay.
One in particular.
All right.
And that's going to be a much shorter thing. And we're going to hopefully do that for some sort of cause. But yeah, it's not going to be a separate thing. It'll probably be on the Dungeons and Dipshits thing or just streamed. So anyway.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. We'll definitely share more when the time is right. And then Ebony Kitty, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Love being here. The only thing I got is it's spooky season next month.
It is. It is. We can talk about spooky things again.
It is spooky season right now.
It's spooky season right now. It's always spooky season for the Pumpkin King. Your name is Pumpkin King.
She's defrosting.
No.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me. I've got some new patrons to shout out. We have Brachio Dreamer, Ashton, and Nolan S. Thank you for joining and supporting the show. Really do appreciate it. And if you'd like to help out, you can go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. You can join us and join patron chats and all sorts of different stuff for different tiers. You guys know how this stuff works. Also, Germinator is our sentry bot. He gets a shout out every week, and you can join him on that level if you would like as well. Unfortunately, he was very busy and wasn't able to join us tonight, but hopefully, Germinator, you'll be able to get back with us next month and maybe even give us some insights into some of the things that we might have missed. I don't know if you noticed some things in the trailer, so let us know. Also, if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, please do that. And there's one that came in recently from Brando Commando. That's a fun name. Great show, 5 stars. Great show and podcast. I work construction and driving 80 miles one way to work, and you and Oxhorn together sure make those long drives very pleasant. Keep up the good work, Tom. Well, thank you so much. That's a lot of driving. I can totally understand why you would spend that time listening to podcasts. But thank you for taking the time to do that. Very much appreciative. And thank you to everybody for the continued support. I will be back next week with another episode. And thank you also to all of the patrons who said very kind things in the pre-show about the types of episodes I've been doing recently and the kinds of things you like. So if you want to give me feedback on that stuff, please do. Be kind about it. But, especially if there's something you really enjoy and want more of, let me know how that's going. And I'm always open to catering to whatever seems to make the most sense and whatever everybody enjoys. So I really do appreciate all the feedback. And thanks for being here, everyone. I'll see you all next week. And until then, stay safe out there. And who knows, maybe we'll get some more drops and trailers and things for season two. Hopefully, maybe we'll have to do this again next month. We'll say, we'll have to see. All right. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.